Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 21. Pritaktvana tu yajjanam.
Pritaktvana tu yajjanam.
Nana bhavan pritakvidan. Veti sarveshu bhuteshu. Tajjanam vidis rajasam. Pritaktvena, because of division. Tu, but, yat, which, jnanam, knowledge, nana bhavan, multifarious situations. Pritakvidan, different. Veti, knows. Sarveshu, in all, Bhuteshu, living entities, Tad, that, Jnanam, knowledge, Vidi, must be known, Rajasam, in terms of passion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. Purport. The concept that the material body is the living entity and that with the destruction of the body the consciousness is also destroyed is called knowledge in the mode of passion. According to that knowledge, bodies differ from one another because of the development of different types of consciousness. Otherwise, there is no separate soul which manifests consciousness. The body is itself the soul, and there is no separate soul beyond the body. According to such knowledge, consciousness is temporary, or else there are no individual souls, but there is an all-pervading soul which is full of knowledge, and this body is a manifestation of temporary ignorance. Or beyond this body, there is no special individual or supreme soul. All such conceptions are considered products of the mode of passion. So in text 19, Krishna says that there are three types of knowledge, action, and performers of actions. First, he says that there is some factors of activity, and then he says he starts to categorize each of them according to the three modes. So here is the part about knowledge, and there is knowledge in goodness, there is knowledge in passion, and there is knowledge in ignorance. So in this section it speaks more specifically about the knowledge about the soul, who we are and who others around us are. So in the verse before, in verse 20, the proper knowledge, the knowledge in mode of goodness is described. And according to the knowledge in the mode of goodness, we see that there is a soul in everybody. That is the same soul. And just the body might be different, but there's same type of soul. And in passion, everyone is different. If you, according to someone who is in passion, everyone is different. And there are even different types of souls. In Christianity, there is this famous conversation of Srila Prabhupada with this Christian priest. And then Srila Prabhupada says that there's these animals that you are eating, they are souls. He says, yeah, but this is animal souls. There's different types of souls. So according to some part of Christianity, they have this idea that there are human souls and there's animal souls. And if you have a human soul, then it's your lucky day. You can go back home, back to Godhead. You can have a relationship with God. And if you have an animal soul, tough luck. You know, like So that's why, according to this philosophy, the animals are not so important. So if you eat the animals, you kill them. Yeah. There's no real soul in them. So and of course, His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj explains sometimes that in the early Christianity they had this serious debate if the women have a soul. There was this voting, and then there was like I don't know, 5 votes to 4 that actually they have. So by one vote they decided that yeah they may have something. They have a soul. So this is not very advanced knowledge. So you might think sometimes. If you stop people on the street and you like try to explain some philosophy, they will say, "So, how is this relevant for me?" You know, like, "I don't care. I don't care about philosophy. I don't want to talk about philosophy because it's not relevant." But actually, everyone has some philosophy. Without some philosophy, you cannot act. You know, like everyone has some philosophy according to which some, you can say some framework, some way of thinking according to which they act. And this gives some consequences. So if you think that that there's a soul in also in the animal bodies, then you might think, oh, maybe these souls, they have also some rights, same as me. Maybe they are a bit less advanced, but in current state, but still, they have maybe they have some rights. And yeah, there's this funny, sometimes funny, not so funny contradiction. You have these animal lovers. They love their animals, so they think, oh, my dog is very important. And they have these conventions or protect the animals and so on. And then after this nice march where they militate for the rights of the animals, they go to McDonald's and eat some animals. They're like, what? So that's because they don't see, they see, oh, my dog has a soul, and this pig, which was is in my plate, there's no soul this there. So actually, this is quite consequential if we see a soul, the soul or not. Because if we see the soul, then it's hard to be violent to a soul. I met this lady at some point, long before Krishna consciousness. She was vegetarian, mostly vegetarian. She had also this. She had this rule that she would not. She would not eat anything that she could not kill. No, so if you want to eat some sort of, I don't know, some chicken meat, you have to go take the chicken alive, take a knife, and cut the throat, and then do whatever is needed, and then you eat it. And if you do this, then probably your your lust is you're thinking again. Oh, okay, maybe he's suffering. So that's. That's the point. If you then you're forced to see, oh, this animal actually has emotions, it's alive. Then you're thinking, okay, maybe I'm not so hungry. Maybe I can eat something else today. So that's the whole point. That many of the things. So she was like eating fish sometimes. I don't know. The fish is maybe not so emotional, so it made it easier. But but the whole point behind is that if you see the soul, then it makes it a lot different to, and it makes it a lot harder to have some strange behavior. Because, see, look, there is a soul here, you know, like this, I'm causing some suffering to a soul. And all these strange behaviors that humans have, they are many times related to the idea that they don't see a soul behind. There's some dehumanizing, that there's some, and one of the problems in modern society is that there's a huge supply chain that you don't see. You just go to the supermarket and you see, oh, it's some meat. You don't see the pork anymore, you know, like, you don't see the soul. So if you don't see the soul, then you can do many things, many strange things. For example, these good corporate managers, they usually don't see the souls working in their company. they don't think, oh, these Chinese people who are working 16 hours per day, and then they put some chemicals in the factories and their health is destroyed. They don't see them as souls. They just crunch some numbers there. Oh, 5 million profit. All right, I'm doing good. So there's many things you can that are done just because you don't see the soul. You don't see, oh, there's some souls. I'm dealing here with some souls, you know, like, I cannot. I'm not just dealing with some numbers. And this whole corporate culture is in this direction. I remember a long time ago, in the company I was working in, they made a survey to see how happy we are in the company. okay. Anyway, so this was this German company, and like this, and all the questions were like, and first I heard, you know, like they said, we are interested in your opinion. And I was waiting for some human to come to me and ask me, so what do you think? You know? Like normal, but no, they made this survey, and they put on a scale from 1 to 5. How happy are you with this? I don't know, you know. Like, so I was just clicking something, ching, 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 and I like, you know, one like in gambling, 1, 2, 5, yeah, okay, 4, good. So then I was expecting, you know, where is the part where I'm like, I can write something. I hate my colleague, you know, like I hate this colleague. I like this colleague. I don't know, this air conditioning is driving me crazy. No, there was no part. There's this whole form, you know, like, 50 questions where you just click something, and there was nothing where I could say something, you know, like something heartfelt, you know, like some human. So that's one of the effects of not seeing the soul. It's some sort of impersonalism, like they say in the corporate world. It's not personal, it's just business. Who cares about you? You're not a human. Of course, so that's one mentality. And the other mentality, which comes with the lack of understanding that there is a soul, is the karma mentality. If the soul is created and destroyed at the end of the life, then let's live our life to the max. Like the Latin say, carpe diem. We only have one life, so let's extract as much juice from this. Who cares how? If you don't enjoy now, you will regret later. You will be old and you will not be able to enjoy anymore. So, whatever. And there's this proponent of atheism in India, Charvaka Muni. His philosophy was beg, borrow, or steal, but somehow you gotta get ghee. So it doesn't matter. Just make sure you don't get caught. But do it somehow. Just get some ghee. Of course, he was high class. He was not thinking of wine and so on. He was thinking ghee. You know, he was a bit intelligent. Not so much. So just make sure you don't get caught. Of course, we know that there are actually consequences, not only in the next life, but also in this life. So, yeah. So these are just some consequences of the the lack of understanding that there is a soul. You can become impersonal, you can become in this mentality that, okay, let's enjoy to the maximum. And sometimes we might also be influenced by this. Sometimes we become devotees, but before being a devotee, we are probably being influenced by these conceptions. And so we might need to address these tendencies. And one, what I said in the beginning is that everyone has a philosophy, actually. So we should make sure, clarify what is our philosophy. And of course, there's this type of armchair philosophy. You know, you have these philosophers, they sit in an armchair, they smoke something, they drink some wine, and they talk high philosophy, like, yeah. And I'm not talking about the philosophy of what you discuss, you know. Yeah, sometimes we discuss, but also these armchair philosophers, after they discuss some nice philosophy, they act, how do they act? Because if you want to see someone's real philosophy, what is the philosophy he really believes in, then you have to see how he acts, you know, not what he speaks. Yes, he might speak like high philosophy, but how does he act? So, in the class which we were hearing this morning, Srila Prabhupada made a very interesting point. For me, it was like, striking. There's this discussion between the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas connected to Ajamil. Ajamil, at the end of the life, the Yamadutas say, okay, he's ours. It's time for punishment. And Vishnudutas comes and, wait. And he's not yours, he's ours. And then the Yamaduta says, no, it's ours. We're protecting the Dharma here. And the Vishnudutas are asking very important questions. He said, okay, if you're in charge of following the Dharma, then you have to explain what is Dharma. Very, very important question. And Srila Prabhupada is in this class is a bit putting more gas on this topic. Okay, so you're a devotee. So what does it mean to be a devotee? you're following Srila Prabhupada. What does it mean to follow Srila Prabhupada? Like he was saying in this class that you have Kanti Mala and you have Tilak. No. What does it mean? So the point is, what it means that we follow some philosophy. That we have some philosophy which is not just theoretical but also practical. That if you are followers of Srila Prabhupada, then we act according to, we see the world through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada, and then we also act in that way. Yeah, that's very important, because sometimes we can so this means that we should know the philosophy. Every devotee in the movement should at least read Srila Prabhupada's books. I mean, how do you know the philosophy otherwise, if you don't read Srila Prabhupada's books? following Srila Prabhupada, but if you don't know what Srila Prabhupada wanted, then how do you follow? And Srila Prabhupada put most of the most important instructions, he put them in the books. So then you have some duty, you know, you are Hare Krishna, you have tilak, and you have neck beads, you have tulsi, yeah, chai. Then you also have the duty to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So it's recommended that every devotee should read at least 1 hour per day. And if you're preaching, you should read at least 2 hours per day. there was this point in the beginning, they were a lot into book distribution. ISKCON was all about book distribution. And at some point, Srila Prabhupada went to some temple and they were distributing a lot of books. And Srila Prabhupada was there, and yeah, the devotees somehow expected that Srila Prabhupada would be happy. And at some point, Srila Prabhupada asked, "So you are distributing a lot of books?" "Yes, yes, yes, yes. But are you reading my books?" Srila Prabhupada was asking. And there was like silence, you know, like... I don't know, not really. We don't have time to read the books. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at them and says, "Then what's the point? What's the use?" Devotees should read Srila Prabhupada's books. Because if we read them, then we'll feel some inspiration. No, you see, if you read the Srila Prabhupada's books, you feel inspired. "Whoa, this is nice." You know, like this. You feel, oh, there's some potency from the pure devotee. Oh, yeah. And many times there you can find there are some answers to some questions. In the beginning, when I was reading, I remember I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I would go in for Sankirtan. And I was reading in the morning, "There are these people who think that this and this." And I was like, "No way, they can't exist. That's not possible to think like that." And then they would think, Srila Prabhupada, "But actually," and he would give all the counter arguments for these strange philosophies. And then I would go on the street, same day, and then I would meet someone who said, "Oh, look, but actually like this and like this." And I would like, "Oh, all right." "All right, just preparing this morning for this." So there's answers in these books for all the problems we have. So we should think like that. That there's if we have some problem, we just have to find the answer in the books. It's there. And then, of course, we should try to apply the books. Like these books are not just meant, okay, we recite Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samaveta, Yutsavaha, Ton, 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 Roram. We recite something and then... No, it's meant to that we get to the point where we can see the world to this philosophy. We can understand, oh, I was reading these books, I was understanding this philosophy, and now there's a practical situation, and I know what I need to do. What should I do? So that's next level. I understand the philosophy, then I have to understand, if I really understand the philosophy, I can understand how to apply it in all situations. And then I can see the world through that. And then, of course, Lord Krishna speaks in the second chapter about Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga means that whenever you have some situation, you have some thoughts coming, you can use your intelligence to decide, oh, this is a good idea, this is not a good idea. Okay, according to the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, this is not a good idea. Okay, so we won't do it. Then you act according to this. So the point is that we should study the books, understand the books, apply the books, see the world through the books, and then apply, act according to the books. Because the value of our activities, actually, is not given so much by what we do externally, but what is our philosophy. It's quite important. Why do we do something? What is the philosophy behind? We can do many times, we can do some so-called bhakti activities, but in the wrong mentality. Sometimes we can do bhakti activities and we have the karma kanda mentality. Yes, I will do this and what's in it for me? I will wash the pots today, so you owe me 3 cakes. Or I don't know, you can have so many examples, probably everyone is like. So this is a bhakti. Somehow it's devotional service, should be devotional service, but the mentality behind is not the proper one. So that's so we can do bhakti activities, but our consciousness when we do it can be karma kanda, karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga. So it's very important what is the philosophy behind. What is our philosophy? Similarly, like this Hare Krishna temple. This is probably, there's many other buildings which maybe they are in a better state than ours. And there's many other people who meet sometimes. There are probably other people who sing. So the difference is that our philosophy, what is the purpose, what is the philosophy behind. So, of course, so the point is that we should really study these books. It's really important. Experience shows that the devotees who study the books, they stay longer in the movement. And even if they stay, they are longer and they make more progress because they know what they are doing. And if we study the books and then we learn, then we appreciate the books and we see, oh, this is something valuable, then we can develop this conviction. This conviction is really needed because there are good days and there are tough days. In devotional service, there are good days and there are tough days. And on the tough days, you're tested. What do you really believe that? Otherwise, you know, like when prasadam is good, when nothing happens, everyone is nice to you, then, you know, like, what's the point, you know, like. But when, you know, they put salt instead of sugar in the halava, and I don't know what happened, and this devotee is looking like this, and you go in Sankirtan, and this happens, your car breaks down, and this happens, and this happens. Then is the point where you say, oh, where you're tested. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you really sure you want to do this? Are you? And then you have to say, yes, 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 that's it, no, it doesn't matter, no, let's go. That's the point that it's really important to study the philosophy and to develop this conviction, which this conviction will help us in the bad days, and there will be bad days. Otherwise, if there's no philosophical understanding, there's no conviction, then as soon as the there is some rain. Hare Krishna. So yeah. Okay, I'll stop here. If there's some questions, comments, concerns, I hope I didn't depress you too much. Okay, thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.